Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to start with Steps to Christ. And just to give you some idea, I think they are nice enough to put the chapter titles in here for me, because although I know that God's love for man, the sinner's need of Christ, repentance, then confession, consecration, faith, and acceptance, the test of discipleship, and boy, that steps on my toes. Oh, mama, it steps on my toes. And then the work and the life, a knowledge of God, and one of the best chapters called The Privilege of Prayer. And then of those of you folks who have doubts in your mind, what do I do with doubt? And then final chapter is called Rejoicing in the Lord. Now that I've said that, now that I've advertised it, now that I've showed you that I'm excited about it, here's another one. This is called Steps to Christ. This is a little different. This is a journaling Steps to Christ. There are pages in here that you can read Steps to Christ, and there's places that you can write down your comments or your questions or things that you like. It is hardbound. It has a beautiful ribbon marker. It's about a $20 value. You get it from the Voice of Prophecy. If you come starting March the 8th and you do all 13 one week, one chapter per week, you do all 13 of them, and I'm going to keep track, I'll give you one of these. Okay? It's not from the church. It's from me. It's my gift to you. But you have to be here every night. Now, it is not going to be in here. It's going to be in the fellowship hall. We're going to have tables set up in kind of a either U or a circle shape so we can sit on comfortable chairs and have a table in front of us so that we can write. Bring colored pencils. Bring colored pens so that you can mark in there, because we're going to be asking some questions and there's going to be some really neat, deep stuff that's in there, and you're going to want to mark that down so that when Sharon wants to look at it 2 months from now, she can look back at it and say, yeah, I remember that. Or I need help with my doubts today. Turn in that chapter and you can read different portions of it. And you're going to find it an amazing book. Okay? And guess who gets to lead? Me. I was pinging off the walls when they said, well, we got to do something for Wednesday night. Do you want to do prayer meeting? And I said, yeah, we'll have prayer. And we will. We'll have prayer. We're not going to be down on our knees, so don't worry. You don't have to bring knee pads. We're going to be comfortable when we pray. I feel so comfortable when Todd prays because he always says, good morning, Father. I had a guy that I worked with. He worked for a guy, and he'd come into work, and he'd say, well, Jim, we're going to do this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Jim completely ignored him. And he says, good morning, Jim. And he said, yes, what can I help you with? And I thought, that's so like God. He wants you to acknowledge Him. He wants you to say good morning. And I've been doing that in my own personal devotions, Todd. And it just makes them richer and far more personal for me. And I love it. So thank you very much for that gift. I have a story to tell, but before I get the story told, I have a poem that I always say, and it takes care of all the nerves. If radio slim fingers can pluck a melody from night and toss it over continent or sea, if the petal white notes of a violin are blown across the mountain or the city's din, if songs like crimson roses are culled from thin blue air, then why should we wonder that our God answers prayer? Let's pray. Good morning, Father, once again. Thank you so much for your willingness to be here with us this morning. Thank you so much for Jesus, all that He did, all that He is, and all that He ever will do for us. We have an amazing friend in Him. Thank you. May everything that we say and everything that we do point to Him this morning is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice I have this picture up here for you. Don't want to make a mess on the floor. I'll move my bulletin out of the way. Okay, I put that picture up for a reason. I wanted him to have that because when I was down there walking around, you folks that are on live stream, you couldn't see me because Devereaux didn't have the camera pointed at me, and I did it on purpose. Because you can't enjoy the fellowship hall with a camera. You're not going to be able to sit at home and twiddle your thumbs and get bored and go to the other room and shut off the TV set and call it quits. You have to come to prayer meeting, which is called spiritual emphasis and prayer. You have to be there present or it doesn't work. Okay? So I'm not only inviting the folks that are here this morning, but I'm inviting anybody else that wants to come that's home, safe, at home, relaxing, taking their time. Believe me, I understand. There's days I want to stay home and just kick back and relax. And many times I do. But it's only 13 weeks. That's just one small quarter. You can do that. I know you can. This last Christmas season, my wife and I bought, we're suckers for Christmas, okay? We're closet Christmas people. You can speak to the people in Prescott, Arizona. In the middle of July, Alita and I were the song leaders, and when she and I led, we sang Christmas carols. The children's divisions were coming up from down below, and they went, "Christmas carols?" And the parents are going, "Christmas carols? What?" So yeah, we're closet Christmas people. And so we bought this movie. It's called 5 More Minutes. And the movie starts out with grandpa and granddaughter, and they're in, he owns a business. It's called a confectionery. I didn't know what a confectionery was from Adam, but basically they sell candies and they sell baked goods. They sell a few Christmas ornaments and some gifts at this place. And he'd owned this for several years. And his granddaughter and her mom came to live with him when her mom, her dad, was in the military and he was killed. And so grandpa said, "You guys come stay with me. And this home is yours from now and forevermore." And so they did. And so the movie opens up with grandpa saying, "Okay, hide and seek." And so Clara, the granddaughter, she goes running off into the bakery, off into the shelves where you slide your trays into these shelves that you can roll around and stuff. And she goes and hides, and she goes, "Where?" He goes, "Where is Clara? Could it be, do I smell fresh candy cane cookies? Could that be where little Clara is?" And she giggles and comes out, and then it breaks, and Grandpa and Clara, she's sitting in his lap, leaning against her head against his shoulder, and they're having a nice conversation. And it isn't very long, and Mom says, "Clara, it's time to go." "Oh, Mom, just 5 more minutes." And she said, "Clara, you know it's getting late. You've got to come now." And Grandpa has his chin on her head, and he looks over her head, and he says, just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. Turn with me in your Bibles. Luke chapter 10. Todd did a great job of reading this. What translation did you read it from? New King James? New King James, okay. I'm going to be in the New International Version, and that's okay. I like the nuances of the different versions that give it a little different angle on things, and I like that. It says here, starting in verse 18, if you've got it with you, pardon me, 38, bad glasses. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted." She was distracted. By what? "By all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him." Who's the him? She didn't come to John, she came to Jesus. And she said to him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I love Jesus, the way he handles people. I wish I were as good as he is. I tend to do bad that way. I spoke with my band last night, and when I got done, my wife was real quiet on the way home, and I said, "Uh-oh, I did something wrong, didn't I?" She said, "You were a little strong with them last night." And I said, "Okay, most of my band is here today, so my apologies. I didn't mean to be so strong." So Jesus looked over at her and he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Time. Martha forgot something. And what she forgot was something that's talked about in Desire of Ages. And it says, as Christ gave his wonderful lessons, Mary sat at his feet, a reverent and devoted listener. This was the time of Christ's first visit to Bethany. The Savior and his disciples had just made the toilsome journey on foot from Jericho. So if you don't know where Jericho is, you don't have no clue what's going on. It's an uphill walk. Jericho is at 864 feet below sea level. It is the lowest city in the world. And they made the journey from that 864 below sea level all the way up to about 2550 at Bethany. And they didn't have a donkey and they didn't have a cart. It was what my old pastor called the Shoe Sole Express. And so they were tired, worn out, dusty, a little dirty. And this was the first time. Now, mind you, this is Luke 10. So a lot of things have taken place. One of the things that took place, and we'll cover it here in just a minute, is from Mark chapter 16, verse 9, and Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. And it says that Mary, Jesus had casted seven demons out of Mary. Seven. So was she interested in being by the guy that delivered her? You betcha. Martha didn't experience that. But Martha was a doer. She was definitely a doer. She was busy. She was always into the logistics of whatever's going on. And she had heard about Jesus, and this is his first visit, and she wanted to impress him. So she was getting everything ready. You never do that, do you? You don't ever try to fix up your house so that when guests come over that everything's perfect, do you? Mark is calling you a liar. No, all the ladies do that. Most all ladies do that. But she says here that Martha was anxious to provide for their comfort, and in her anxiety she forgot the courtesy due to her guest. Oh. What was that courtesy? Washing their feet and seeing to their personal needs. How are you doing? If I come to your house, Lindsay, and I say, knock on the door, you're going to welcome me in. You're not going to be off rushing off in the other room trying to fix something. You're going to be there visiting with me. Just like Todd said, knock on the door. You better be saying thank you. You better say hello. Shake my hand. Give me a hug. But she didn't do that. She had 13 hungry men, and that's the only thing that she could see. I got 13 hungry men coming to my house, and it's the first visit. I want to make sure everything is perfect. And Jesus had to just say, hang on. Just hang on, Martha. Just hang on. The Desire of Ages goes on and says, if I can ever get my fingers to work like I want them to say, come on now. It says that the cause of Christ needs careful, energetic workers like Martha. There is a wide field for the Marthas with their zeal in active religious work. But What does a but do in a sentence? Turns it 180 degrees. But let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that our lives are in line with His life. In John chapter 11, we read about the raising of Lazarus. It's one of the other things that Mary was so grateful for, is that Jesus had raised her brother. He had been dead for 4 long days. And as they said to him when he arrived, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." But it was for the glory of God. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so when we read in chapter 12, go with me to John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12 and verse 1. It's where we're going to start. Have the picture up here of Mary. She's anointed His feet, and she's wiping His feet with her hair. And along with the ointment that she poured on His feet were her tears that went along with it. It says here, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Next two words are, Martha served. Anything change? Apparently not much. While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray Him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Why all this waste?" And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Now, I got a whole sermon about this situation. It's called "You Can't Tell the Players Without a Program." I'll do it for you sometime. Not today. But there's some other things that I wanted to bring forth to you, again, from Desire of Ages. And it talks in this chapter about the feast at Simon's house and the disciples' reaction to what was going on. And it said, "Their after knowledge gave them a true sense of the many things they might have done for Jesus, expressive of the love and gratitude of their hearts while they were near Him. When Jesus was no longer with them and they felt indeed as sheep without a shepherd, they began to see how they might have shown Him attentions that would have brought gladness to His heart. They no longer cast blame upon Mary, but upon themselves." Oh, if they could have taken back their censuring. They're presenting the poor as more worthy of the gift than Christ. They felt the reproof keenly as they took from the cross the bruised body of their Lord. And she says a little bit more here in the chapter about the crucifixion. With the death of Christ, the hopes of His disciples perished. What perished? The hopes of the disciples. They looked upon His closed eyelids and drooping head, His hair matted with blood, His pierced hands and feet, and their anguish was indescribable. Until the last, they had not believed that He would die. They could hardly believe that He was really dead. Overwhelmed with sorrow, they did not recall His words foretelling this very scene. Nothing that He had said now gave them comfort. They saw only the cross and its bleeding victim. The future seemed dark with despair, their faith in Jesus had perished. But never had they loved their Lord as now. Never before had they so felt His worth and their need of His presence. After it was over with, after He was gone, how many times do we do the same things with our loved ones? Do we say the kindnesses that we think about? Do we say thank you for the things that people do for us, whether here in the church or at home? The simple things, the little things. What about us? Do we do nice, kind things for others and try to help them? What about the lady that's at the grocery store checking you out? And the person ahead of her, of you in the line, was grousing about one thing or another, or didn't like what the girl was doing, or how she checked them out, or whatever. And you're the next one in line. And the person behind the counter is feeling like somebody punched him in the stomach. Do you add to it? Or do you throw on a smile and try to cheer him up? Say, thank you so much for your enthusiasm. Thank you for helping me today. Appreciate that so much. What about your husband or your wife when they do something nice for you? Like cook every day. Like go to work every day and work their tail off for you. Do you ever say thank you? Do you ever mention that to them? When you husbands get home and the dinner's already set on the table and it's warm and it's ready to go and you didn't have to say anything or do anything, but it's a really nice, delicious meal and she's got it all set up and ready for you. Do you ever say thanks? Or are you going to wait until she's not there anymore? And then you're going to look at her and say, man, if only I had said thank you. It's a lot of marital problems that are taken care of with that. A lot. I had a lot of other things I was going to say, and I wasn't looking at my notes, and so I missed several of them, so I apologize. But one thing that, and I know I keep using Desire of Ages, and no, I'm not going to apologize, because I love Desire of Ages. It's probably one of my favorite books right behind Steps to Christ. If I can find where I want it there. It says here, right behind the disciples feeling keenly the reproof, says the same want is evident in our world today. Very few appreciate all that Christ is to them. If they did, the great love of Mary would be expressed. The anointing would be freely bestowed. The expensive ointment would not be called a waste. Catch this. Nothing would be thought too costly to give for Christ. No self-denial or self-sacrifice too great to be endured for His sake. And this she says about Mary. It was Mary who sat at His feet and learned of Him. It was Mary who poured upon His head the precious anointing oil and bathed His feet with her tears. It was Mary who stood beside the cross, and it was Mary that followed Him to the sepulcher. Mary was the first at the tomb on resurrection morning. It was Mary who first proclaimed a risen Savior. Mary. And though she doesn't say it, I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts that in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when Jesus, it says that He rose in front of them, He blessed them, He put His hands out in blessing like He always did, and as He was rising up, ascending to heaven, I'll bet you Mary was right there. Why was that? Just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes, please. Just 5 more minutes. That's all she wanted. They played a beautiful hymn. They played a very beautiful hymn this morning. Do you know what the name of it was? Well, for the offertory, let me be more specific. For the offertory, what did they play? Not you, Dennis, you can't answer. It was called Sweet Hour of Prayer. So grab your hymnals. We're going to do a little exercise. There's hymnals in the pews up front of you. Don't sit there and look at me. Pick up a few and get it out. Get a hymnal out. Come on. This is interactive studies today. Number 478. I was waiting for you to at least start to move toward getting it before I would tell you what page it was. Now I see you're moving, so that's good. Alrighty. Number 478. No, we're not going to sing it. Sometimes I find music gets in the way. It does here. Sweet minute of prayer. Sweet minute of prayer. Not hearing any reaction. Is that what it says? It says sweet hour of prayer. But we live in a microwave world. I've only got a minute of time, Lord. What do you mean an hour? Are you crazy? But it says sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace. Amazing grace. I'll cast on him my every care. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I'm going to do a little parenthetical here for you folks. You ladies did an absolute excellent job. It was everything I could do to keep from crying. That was beautiful. Thank you to all of you ladies who sang that this morning. That amazing grace. Your harmonies were great. Your balance was perfect. It was great. That was my sermon. And I thank you. Last verse. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share until from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. In my immortal flesh I'll rise. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. In my immortal flesh I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. There's another song. And it was in this movie called Five More Minutes. And the name of the song, called Five More Minutes, handy, isn't it? They try to keep it pretty easy. It was written by Scott McCreery, and no, you don't have to worry about it because I'm only going to talk the verse, the chorus. It goes like this. Time rolls by, the clock don't stop. I wish I had a few more of the good times. Oh, but they just keep flying right on by like it ain't nothing. Wish I had me a pause button. Moments like those, Lord knows I'd hit it and give myself just 5 more minutes. Yeah, sometimes this old world will leave you wishing that you had 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. Remember the granddad? How he looked over his granddaughter's head and he said, just 5 more minutes. I wonder if God isn't looking over your head and saying to you, just 5 more minutes, please. Can we have just 5 more minutes together? I know you're busy. You got places to go, things to do, and people to see. But can I have just 5 more minutes? My prayer this morning is that you will answer that call with a yes. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.